how am I ever going to trust again after being cheated on? The honest answer is that you don't. There is absolutely no guarantee that this won't happen again. And I know that that sounds harsh and it probably sounds discouraging, but in this video, I want to explain why that's actually so much more helpful. So much advice around infidelity is basically trying to answer the question, how can I go back into this state of ignorance and bliss again? Well, you can't. It was an illusion the entire time that you could never be hurt. Why would you want to re-enter into an illusion that you know isn't real anyway? Whether you reconcile or rebuild a relationship with someone else, you can't guarantee that your partner won't betray you. You can't guarantee that someone won't lie to you, hide something from you, leave you, disappoint you, or become someone that you don't recognize. And what's so difficult to accept about this is that this has always been true. It didn't suddenly become true just because you got cheated on. The only difference is that before the infidelity, before the affair, you were able to live as if it wasn't true. You were able to move through the relationship with a type of ignorance, and maybe you even want to call it innocence. Maybe you didn't realize it at the time, but you were kind of operating with this assumption of, well, this won't happen to me. They wouldn't do that. Our relationship is different. I'm safe here. And then the betrayal happens. And it doesn't just hurt you because of what they did. It hurts you because it destroys the world that you thought you lived in, a world that was safer and kinder. And stick with me, because I recognize that what I'm saying makes it sound like, well, will everybody do this to me then? No, that's not what I'm saying either. But it's what makes the question of how do I trust again so complicated. It's because you're now opening your eyes to recognize there are real threats to your safety, and you can't just passively hope that they won't affect you. I'll share more, but in a lot of ways, the answer is as simple as this, that it's forcing you to take back the driver's seat, to steer things yourself. It's forcing you to have agency in your life. You can't just be a people-pleasing robot and expect to never get hurt. Because people that operate that way have to be believing that there is no threats to protect yourself from. And a lot of people equate the idea of trust with believing that there is never going to be anything harmful. That's just denial. Like, that's a false sense of safety. That's not real trust. And there is some naivety to it. There's some naivety in how we approach everything. Like, we all live with some level of blind faith. If we woke up every morning fully aware of every possible way that our days could go wrong, we would probably never leave the house. When you go for a walk outside, is it technically possible that something horrible could happen? Yes. Is it possible someone could attack you? Yes. Is it possible you could have a random medical emergency, a brain aneurysm, a heart attack? Yes. Is it possible that when you drive your car, someone could run a red light and hit you? Yes. But you still go outside. You still drive. You still make plans. You still fall asleep at night. You still love people. You still build a life. And you don't do those things because you think that you have this guaranteed sense of safety. Maybe some part of you does have that naivety like I'm talking about, but fundamentally, we are more okay with risk than we think. And the evidence is in the fact that we choose to go about our lives and live. And I think that's what trust actually is. Trust is not the absence of risk. It's the ability to live, love, choose, and move forward while knowing that risk exists anyway. And that is definitely what makes betrayal so hard, is that the risk isn't just this background idea. It's real. It's not just theoretical. Risk now has a face, a timeline, messages, places, dates, stories, memories, details. And that does change you. It makes the background risk real. So when people say that they just want to trust again, what they often mean is, I want to go back to feeling like this could never happen. But that's not possible, and you know that. That whole sense of safety is built around ignorance, which you can't get rid of. Now, I do some conversational hypnosis in my approach to working with people one-on-one, and I've had people ask me if they could have these memories removed. And I just don't think that's wise, first of all. It might be possible, but it's not wise. Because you would most likely just set yourself up to be betrayed again. Maybe not even a romantic context, but if you just eliminate these memories, how are you going to keep the wisdom with you that will allow you to not be betrayed again? Like, imagine, for example, that there's a frozen lake and you've spent a lot of your life and your childhood walking across that lake back and forth and it feels completely fine. You've never been afraid of falling in. And then one day you do. Would you want to just forget about that completely because it was a traumatic experience? Well, probably not. You would want to be able to have the combination of the courage to be able to walk on frozen lakes again, but also the wisdom to be able to see the cracks that exist so that you can avoid those cracks and not fall through again in the future. Healing is not convincing yourself that there are no cracks. Healing is having the courage to still go out on the lake anyway and having the wisdom to know how to navigate and avoid those cracks. And a big part of that wisdom does depend, as I've said many times, on learning to trust yourself. Trusting other people is a cheap excuse for navigating the inherent risk that we all live on this planet. Trusting yourself means taking that full accountability, that full responsibility to say, I know how to navigate risks, including the other person in my life, including the people that I surround myself with. Real repair comes from you knowing with confidence that you can navigate the risks and uncertainties of life. Because if your entire sense of safety depends on another person never hurting you, you're going to feel powerless. If that's the route you choose, it is the route of needing constant reassurance, endless proof, checking their phone, tracking their location, analyzing their tone, monitoring their behavior, replaying every conversation, looking for danger. I'm not saying this to say those things are bad. If that's where you're at, that's where you're at, and you need to do what you need to do to keep yourself safe. But is that the life that you want to live for the rest of your life? What that really feels like is more along the lines of control and not really feeling safe. Control can give you a temporary hit of relief. But until you feel safe and you know how to navigate the world safely yourself, that fear is going to come back. You can check their phone at 7 p.m. and then at 9:30 p.m. you're wanting to check it again. It's that part of you that's crying out, but what if I'm not safe? That question can never be fully answered by another person. And it doesn't matter if it's the person who cheated on you or if it's a new person or if it's a non-romantic person, nobody else can fully make you feel safe. And I want to be very clear, especially if you are rebuilding with a person who betrayed you. They do need to be transparent. They do need to be honest. They absolutely have a role to play in your healing journey. But even if they do everything right, you know there's still a part of you that needs to relearn safety and trust. Another angle to consider here is that love has never worked in terms of certainty. Love is vulnerable by its very nature. It always involves some level of exposure. There's no version of loving someone deeply where you're going to be protected from the pain. It's almost like dancing with fire. Fire gives warmth. Fire gives light. Fire brings people together. There's a reason that humans have gathered around fires to tell stories for centuries. But fire can also burn. And the answer is not to say, well, because fire can burn me, I'll never go near it again. And the answer also isn't to say, well, I'm going to just recklessly throw myself into the fire and hope naively that I won't get burnt. Part of the answer is to just accept that this is what you're signing up for. Life is full of risk. Love is full of risk. I've sometimes described it as having your eyes and your heart both fully open. It might sound like, I know that there is real risk. I know that love requires openness and vulnerability. I know I can't control every outcome. But I also know that I have myself. I know that I can listen to myself. I know that I can trust my intuition. I know that I can respond, that I'm never trapped. I know that I can survive. I know how to make choices. It's a different kind of safety. People find a lot of their safety in their romantic partner, and that's what makes the betrayal hurt so badly, because it was someone that you felt safe with. That's completely reasonable for it to be a betrayal. And so rebuilding looks like rebuilding safety not just with them. You need a wider net of safety, a wider web. Romantic partners still have a place in that web, but it means also having safety in your body, in your intuition, in your ability to be honest with yourself and with others, safety from boundaries, safety in having a support system, safety in your relationship with God or spirituality or meaning or purpose or whatever connects you to something bigger than this one person and bigger than even just your own life. So when you ask, how do I ever trust again? The answer is not find a way to guarantee they won't hurt you. The answer is become the kind of person who no longer needs a guarantee in order to live. That's a much taller order, but it's also a much more rewarding path. In other words, it's the path of self-improvement and self-development. And this isn't recklessness. I'm not saying, okay, because there is risk, therefore be stupid. Have discernment as well. Ask questions like, is this person actually trustworthy? Not, do I want them to be trustworthy? Not, did they promise that they'll change, but are they changing? Not, am I afraid of losing them, but what does the evidence actually show? Are their words and actions aligned? Or are they like cracks in that frozen lake? Do they take responsibility, or can I feel the ground shifting because they're not showing up at all? This new model for thinking about trust is all based in reality. That means that if something is good, you receive it. If something is off, you notice it. If something needs to be addressed, you address it. If something is unsafe, you leave it. If grief comes, you feel it. If fear comes, you listen to it and you respect it, but without letting it automatically hijack the car. Because you're in the driver's seat, you're the one driving. And this is a lot less magical than the innocent, naive Disney Channel version of trust. I get that. But in a lot of ways, I think it's more beautiful because it's choosing it and it's going in with your eyes wide open. It's saying, I know what people are capable of. I know what betrayal feels like, and I still am saying yes to love. It's a position of hope and faith and optimism. And I personally think the world could use a lot more of that. And it's the type of optimism that refuses to let their light and their joy be stamped out by somebody else. Don't let their betrayal lead you to betray yourself. Uncertainty is a part of life. Love is risk. Life is risk. Connection is risk. And the answer to risk is not to stop living. The answer is to become strong enough, grounded enough, and honest enough to live fully anyway.